The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord this has been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. In many ways, these words, they come from today's responsorial, of course, the great Psalm 118, the Psalm of the Resurrection. These words, they in many ways sum up the heart of the Easter season and indeed the very core, the very heart of our Christian faith. So let's dig a little deeper, shall we, and see what we can find. That first sentence seems nonsensical. It's basically an oxymoron, right? If the stone is rejected, if it's found faulty or doesn't fit or whatever the case is, then how can it be the cornerstone? It seems ridiculous at first glance, right? But we're talking about two different structures here. And the second one is vastly superior to the first. Eternally superior, we might say, to the first. The first building we can think of in terms of an earthly, a human structure. Maybe think the temple in Jerusalem that's literally built out of stone, right? The second one is the temple that Christ builds through the resurrection, right? It's the temple of his body of which we are part, right? The mystical body of Christ. He says, remember in the, I think it's John's gospel, he says, I'm going to tear down this temple and rebuild it in 3 days. And they say, you're nuts. It took us 46 years to build this temple. But in 3 days, hint, hint, the resurrection, after 3 days, he's going to build the temple that lasts for eternity. So that's the difference. There's a qualitative difference, we could say, between these structures, so to speak. Those building this first one don't really know what they're doing. They think they do, right? They think they have it all figured out, but they just don't know what's best for them. So they reject the very best stone. What they need most of all, more than anything in their lives, they need him. They need this stone. But they reject it. They reject the stone, thinking all the while that they're doing something good. But then, so what is the stone in the first place? Well, it's Jesus, of course. And he was rejected since he didn't fit the mold that the builders had in mind. He was a little unconventional for them, we might say. And this is still happening today, because Jesus is always unconventional in many ways, vis-a-vis what society says. But so these builders, they couldn't control or shape him. That's what a lot of times you do with a stone, right? You cut it, you fit it, so it's in there. But they couldn't control or shape this particular stone. And that made them uncomfortable. So instead of trying to work with it, they just killed him, right? And thought that that was the end of it. Okay, got rid of that problem. Now we can continue doing things as we want to do them, right? Yet, paradoxically, through his death, the Paschal sacrifice, Jesus became the cornerstone of all salvation. Now, that's the correct mold, right? That's the mold that we should have in our minds and our hearts, instead of our earthly mold, so to speak, what we want, how we want things done. Now, he is the foundation that can never be destroyed. Try as people may, and they've been doing it for 2,000 years, and they're going to do it until he comes again, never going to work. This cornerstone cannot be destroyed. He has taken this rejection, his passion and death, and transformed it into the most glorious victory possible, beyond imagination. He's taken that tomb, the disaster of the tomb, and he's transformed it into his explosive, totally unexpected victory. And this victory is even available to those who killed him. He offers salvation even to those who killed him. Back to the words of the psalmist, by the Lord this has been done. Not by human beings. By the Lord this has been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. And how wonderful it is, how marvelous indeed it is. Alleluia. This generosity, this goodness of our Lord. St. Peter is no stranger to this marvelous truth, as we see in today's first reading. It's an excerpt from the Acts of the Apostles. And he's speaking of the crippled man that was healed through him. And you may recall that so Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray at the 3 o'clock hour, and there's this man that's crippled, and he's begging for alms, and he gets excited. He thinks they're going to give him money, but they don't have any money. And Peter says to him, I have neither gold nor silver, but what I do have, I give to you. And he says, in the name of Jesus, rise. And the guy rises up and he's jumping. He's like, holy mackerel, what's going on here? Because I think he was crippled from birth. And then he goes into the temple area, and of course they're skeptical. What happened? Who did this? You know, maybe it was on a Sabbath. I don't remember. But so that's what Peter's talking about here. So he says to the Jewish elite, speaking of this healing, all of you should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, who you crucified, who God raised from the dead. There's the rejection of the stone becoming the cornerstone, right? God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. So Peter's quoting Psalm 118 there. Obviously, Peter is calling them out with great boldness, right? He's really sticking himself out there, and he's calling over the carpet right there. But he's not just doing this to be theatrical, to be a punk, to build himself up. No, as we see next, he's only doing this to bring them to conversion. That's what he's trying to do. He says, there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven by which we are to be saved. He wants them to believe in Jesus. He wants them to believe, to put their trust not in this physical structure of the temple, but in the metaphysical structure of Jesus and his mystical body, the church. That's what he's seeking to convince them. Only by his name, only through his grace, are you going to be saved. Yes, Jesus wants to save them too, these ones that killed him, if only they'll be open to his grace. And oftentimes I find myself musing on how many of these people actually did eventually welcome his grace. I don't know if we'll ever know the answer to that, but I hope many, many of them did. Okay, now you might be wondering at this point, this is Good Shepherd Sunday, right, Father Joe? And you haven't mentioned a thing about a shepherd yet. What is this? No worries. We're going to connect the dots right here. This rejected stone, this Jesus, is the Good Shepherd, right? As he himself testifies in today's gospel passage. Unlike the hireling who only watches the sheep for money, but doesn't really care about them, Jesus loves every single one of them, every single one of us, infinitely, and lays down his life for the sheep. He's in this passage, chapter 10 of John's Gospel, he hasn't died yet, and so he's saying, I will lay my life down. Well, we know he has. We're on the other side of that now. So yes, he has laid down his life for the sheep so that they may be one flock, one shepherd. One flock, one shepherd. It is only through this sacrifice that we become one, not only with each other, but actually with the shepherd. How beautiful that is. We become one with the shepherd. This is that mystical body of Christ. This is what the Eucharist does for us, brothers and sisters. Gathers us together in him. In him, we become one. And that's exactly what he desires for us. So yes, he's all about this. He's all about this. And he gets all these graces from the Father. And so he says, this is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. He lays down his life. That's the stone being rejected. Take it up again. He's rising to new life. He becomes that cornerstone that draws us all together. And this is the mark of a true shepherd, laying down one's life for the sheep. The true shepherd is one that the sheep can depend on with total confidence. Not going to run away when things get tough. Going to stay in there and lay it all down for those sheep. But the good shepherd, the ultimate shepherd, we might say, takes it much further, saying, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, including those who reject him. These also I must lead. These also I must lead. He wants them to be part of the one flock too, and to actually become part of him as well. This is so wonderful. We can see it's amazing grace and divine mercy working together, conspiring together in a beautiful way, we might say, to save the entire world. That's what Jesus is talking about here. It's really, really amazing. And this is why St. John, in today's second reading, can confidently say, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. He's amazed. He's kind of saying, why would the Lord, sinful wretches, why would he call us his children? Yet he's done it in his mercy and his love. Astonishingly, the Lord bestows himself upon us. He is love. He bestows himself upon us and adopts us as his children, despite the reality that we reject the cornerstone every time we choose sin, because we're choosing sin over Him. Yet the Good Shepherd, our cornerstone, never stops reaching out with great mercy. And the Father just keeps on loving all of us, unlike any earthly father can do, because His mercy endures forever. Our mercy doesn't. We're limited. Sadly, though, the closer we grow in relationship to our Father and His Son, living the life they created us to live, the more the world thinks we're crazy. And oftentimes we start listening to that. Maybe let's take a more earthly path, some more instant gratification, right? But as John teaches, the world does not know us because it doesn't know Him, doesn't know the Father. And in many respects, we don't know Him either, or we don't know Him as we should. We grow to know Him each day of our lives, hopefully. But the more any human being comes to know Him, and think of knowledge here, not head knowledge, but in terms of experiencing His love, experiencing His mercy, His tenderness. Any human being that comes to know Him in this way, well then, the more he or she is always going to want more, because it's so beautiful, it's so wonderful. Therefore, friends, let us seek to see ever more clearly this love the Father has for us. That's what John's encouraging us to do. Let us bask in Easter glory and Easter joy every single day. Every day. This is precisely what He wants for us. This is precisely what He created us for. So do everything you can to keep this season alive in your hearts, and thereby leave the tomb behind, that tomb of your frustrations, of your sorrows, of your sins, your regrets, your fears, whatever it is. Leave that tomb behind so you can explode forth with Christ in His victory over sin and death. Allow our Good Shepherd to lead you and transform you. Allow Him to be your cornerstone. And I want to give you some encouragement, some tools here to help you out, some scripture, wonderful stuff, especially for this season of resurrection. The first letter of Peter. Strongly, strongly encourage you to check this out. This isn't the same person, but it's not the same Peter, the impetuous Peter that we see in the Gospels where he's, you know, sticking his foot in his mouth half the time. This is after decades of reflection on what happened, on the miracles that the Lord has done through him. This is mature Peter. He's just unshakingly confident in the Lord. It's beautiful. Just so much confidence in the resurrection and the power of the resurrection. Really excellent stuff. Similarly with the first letter of John. So very confident, so joyful, giving us so much good encouragement and guidance. And of course, Psalm 118, the Psalm of the Resurrection. Jesus fulfills this ultimately. We can see His death prefigured, but we can see His explosive victory. Really, really good stuff to nurture you and keep you in the essence of the season. So yes, brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is our Good Shepherd. He is our cornerstone. Let us claim Him as such. Let us allow Him to be this in our lives so that we can flourish in and through Him and go out and help Him to build up this one flock in the one Shepherd. Happy Easter to you all.